You're ready. Okay. If you'd like to stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And do you want to take that off the screen? But just a momentary pause here. And for confirmation purposes, we have a quorum.
We do.
Thank Mayor. All right, before I ask for approval of the agenda, consent agenda and the minutes of June 20th, I'd like to amend the agenda to add 4A. Public hearing for the six-year road plan. The public hearing was advertised in the paper, but it was inadvertently left off of the agenda. I have made confirmation that we can amend the agenda and add it. It was sent out this afternoon to the various public media Facebook page that it was not on the agenda, but the public hearing would be held today. So if I could get approval of the amended agenda, adding 4A for a public hearing for the six-year road plan, the consent agenda, and the minutes of June 20th.
So
second? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Thank you. Next will be 4A, we will open the public hearing for the six-year road plan, and all the information is in your packet. We'll open the public hearing at 6:02. Is there any public? We have nobody in the council chambers, but is there anybody online that has any comments regarding the six-year road plan? And it was in the council packet. Okay, seeing no members of the public with no any comment, the public hearing will be closed at 6:03. And if the council, now that the public hearing is closed, if we can discuss it now or we can discuss the six-year road plan when we get to item number 9. So communications. Did you have anything? Nobody signed in, so no communications. Is there items from the public online? Seeing none, no items from the public. Item number 7, Alder & Co. lease agreement review, which was tabled from the June 20th council meeting. I was asked also to have city administrator, city supervisor, don't mind me, sleep deprived, provide a maintenance information on what had been done at Alder & Co. since they had taken over, which is the staff report is at the beginning of the lease agreement. Then I was asked to revise the lease agreement so that it actually ended at the months that the current lease is, which is April. So I have made those changes with no rate increase for them until April. First of 2023, and then and then increases each year for a three-year period. So if anybody has any questions, I am all ears.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Ann.
I know that we talked before, and part of it was that the renters brought it up, but there was the idea that they have done work on the building, which I understand, and that they would continue to do work on the building. Is there an expectation with this lease that they would continue to make improvements to the building?
Can you hear me, Ian?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's a written expectation, but I think that they will always, in my opinion, they will always keep that building as well as the area as well maintained as what you see today.
Okay. And I bring it up because I'm always very sensitive to, you know, leasing things below market value. And I know we have a hard time understanding what market value is, but if the lease were to have an obligation on their part for costs, because right now it says in the lease that we are obligated, and I know that they have done things they're not obligated for, but if we were to obligate them in the lease, it would help to justify the lower per square foot value that we are putting forward in the lease.
Okay. I would be willing to, if you are willing, if the council is willing to approve it as is, I'd be willing to put in a an item that says that for general, I mean, there is a premise maintenance, but we can add an item number 5 that says, you know, for general maintenance and interior maintenance and that the leasee will continue to provide their own general maintenance to that, something to that effect, that they would be whatever similar to what they're doing now.
I think I'm looking at it right now.
It would be on, it starts on 1 and ends on 2.
Yeah. So like in 3A1, all structural, non-structural parts, we say right there that we will take care of those. So we would need to take it off of there and put it into section B.
Right. And I don't think that they would be agreeable to be responsible for all structural parts of the premise, in like the roof, the, you know, the foundation, the floors. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that they would. I mean, there's no toilets there other than that they do clean the public toilets.
Yeah.
They may have installed a sink. I could see, other than those major structural issues, which ones they would be willing to move into the leasee portion.
Okay. I just, in my mind, it needs to be significant enough to offset what is a very low rate. So if we look at like a vacant office building in Long Beach, $171 per square foot. If we look at the Thriftway Market in town, $118 per square foot. And I'm not saying we have a building that is at that level, but we're not even 10% of that.
Right. And I think that, I mean, we went with the attorney and worked with a square foot value of Third Street Bistro. And it's more than this, because there's more to the Third Street Bistro and what the city owns there. This is just an empty building. I mean, it does have water, but it doesn't have it doesn't have bathrooms. It's just a building with water. That's it. And you're not gonna find many buildings in town anywhere that you're just gonna rent an empty building where that just has water. No restroom facilities.
I agree with that. To me, that doesn't justify the difference between $118 a square foot versus 35 cents a square foot. And I think that the comments from the renters confirmed that 2 weeks ago when they thanked us for renting it at such a low price and said that they wouldn't be able to do this anywhere else in town, because nobody else would rent to them this low. I again have serious concerns that it is a gift of public funds when we lease such dramatically below market value rates to businesses. It's not fair to the competing businesses. It's not fair to the competing property owners in town. And I think it opens it us up to liability.
I do disagree with you, Ian, and that's my, you know, that's my choice. But I can tell you that the most that Port rents any other buildings for is a dollar a square foot. And I've had this discussion with the Port because that's when I was putting the contract together. We had this discussion. So the Port doesn't rent their buildings for 178 or any of those astronomically high prices. The buildings that they're leasing right now are around a dollar to a dollar 25 a square foot. So I don't think that we're extremely out of the fair market value for our area. And I think that if we push much harder, then we could have empty buildings. So, and I'm not suggesting that Alder & Co. is leaving or would ever leave, but that certainly could potentially be the case. I mean, we can price ourselves out of businesses. So, but that's my opinion. And then Ian, do you have anything else?
Those are my main concerns with it.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments?
I'm asking you the question. You said $178 a square foot.
$178. So, in Long Beach, a vacant office building, $171 a square foot. And apparently the grocery store in town is for sale, which I didn't know, but it's 118. And the mayor is correct. Those certainly the grocery store has improvements that come with it. A vacant office building doesn't have a lot of improvements, but it probably has bathrooms and is a little more usable.
You know, space. I'm just saying, the 171 square foot is probably per year. Just my experience. So if that's the case, that would be $11, $12, $7. I mean, it's way more, obviously, but it seems like just a weird number.
Even 1,000 square feet, $171 is $171,000. By 12 is $14,000.
Yeah, so then that's based on the square foot. Yeah, it's.
But there's another $178.
I thought he first was like $1.70. I was like, oh, it's reasonable for
a month, I guess. No, you're right. Those are sale, not lease prices. I should clarify that.
That's what we should do.
Sell it? That's right.
Well, and I did wonder, you know, the sale is tricky because the state owns the land. Would the state buy the building back from us for a dollar and we could just get out of the real estate business?
And they can tear it down because it's our improvement. Yeah. Usually stuff goes back.
Yeah, I don't think you might have heard Eric, but he said if it went back to the state, they'd make us tear it down and return it to the original condition of the land.
Potentially. I mean, usually when leases like for the city and stuff, you put it back to how you found it.
Okay.
Those are, you know, we built a lease added on to the building. The characteristics, okay, especially is on there.
And I would oppose us selling the building. I don't know why we would. I mean, it creates no hardship for the city whatsoever at this point in time. I mean,
I think that's the issue though, is at this point in time, future state.
Well,
what goes into it? I know the paint.
I would add just before we were losing money with, you know, the public market. But at this point, if you cleared $400 a month of the 500, because they pay all the other utilities, you know, over a 20-year period or say 30 years for roofing and paint, that would definitely cover roofing. You know, you may up front have to pay for something now, but it does cover it, you know, so we're not actually losing there.
Yeah, just for comparison, in Olympia, we made it more expensive, but $13 a square foot a year, right around the ballpark, what we got in, too. So you're looking at just over a dollar.
Which is about what I had said the Port normally is.
Olympia, downtown.
Right.
Full kitchen that we had approved too, but either way, it's, I mean, if you got a shell, it's Mr. Walker if he wants
to. Okay. Any additional comments? Okay. I'd like the council to make a motion to approve the Alder lease agreement as presented. Second?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 8, the Raymond Theater lighting proposal, which was tabled from June 20th. And Ian, have you had a chance to do some footwork on that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, hang on just a second. We're going to see if we can. The speaker on the table is not working.
Hold on. Can you go ahead and speak again, Ian?
Yeah, how does that sound?
There it is.
We're back.
Yep, got it.
Okay, we're in business. Go ahead, Ian.
All right. Now I have an echo. If you could solve that somehow, that'd be awesome.
Okay, we'll just turn it down because it's really loud. So I think we're getting it up here.
Okay. So
is that better?
I think so. Yes. So the three bids came in. One of them, when I reached out, they rescinded their bid. That was CCI Sound out of Tumwater had said they didn't feel comfortable with the price cap and didn't think that what they had proposed was a good fit, that they had just been working under the price cap and wanted us to rescind their bid. So I didn't speak to them any farther about that. That left, I can't remember, the Light and Motion, maybe it's Mr. Spreaderman from South Bend. He proposed.
That's me. I'm on the phone this time.
Oh, okay. He had a proposal, and then Night Lighting, Night Sound and Lighting out of Ohio had a proposal, and I spoke with both of them about their proposals. I prefer the approach Mr. Spreaderman is taking, and the main difference between the two, the Night, the folks out of Ohio had fewer lights, but a more expensive light, a very high-end light fixture, but fewer of them at the front of the stage, and I believe fewer on the side of the stage, or an equal amount. Mr. Spreaderman's had more lights. They are not cheap lights. They are less expensive. In my opinion, they are better suited to the types of shows we're having. You know, with the higher end lights, you could do even more amazing things. We don't get those acts in here. I don't expect us to get those acts in here. So I liked Mr. Spreaderman's option 2, I believe, that allowed for both white light and color and a mixture of those. His proposal 1 might have also had that. I forget. I would not recommend the Zoom feature. And I did speak with someone who has worked at the theater on a lot of lighting or a lot of performances down there. I've got some experience. I still go back to the idea that it needs to be really simple to use, and adding a Zoom feature adds another feature that a very novice lighting person may struggle with. I want to have it very simple. And so that idea where it's just fixed lights at a fixed zoom that can be either white or a variety of millions of colors, I think that is the solution for us. And I think that's actually proposal number 1. Proposal number 2 had the zoom. And so that's what I would go with. I would potentially modify it to include the ability to, if it doesn't have it already, to have the ability to move the lighting board either upstairs or downstairs. The folks from Ohio had a solution on how to do that by buying a few more cables. It wouldn't be, you know, walk around with the lighting board. It would be plug it into power and have it either at the side of the stage or at the balcony. But that is a nice feature. And then Mr. Spreaderman also had some lights that could be used as side lights or backlights on one of his other proposals. I would actually kind of roll those into proposal one at a slightly incremental cost to allow for a little more flexibility in the types of shows that we could do, including, Karen, I think it would maybe solve the never-ending issue of community choirs and groups like that not having any amount of backlighting. It might help with that, which that's a large percentage of our shows, and it's been a problem for 20 years. So I hope that all makes sense. I guess what I'm saying is not any one of the proposals is perfect, but basing the final package off of proposal one from Mr. Spreaderman's company is my recommendation.
Okay, and then Craig, I understand you're on the phone.
That's correct. Would you like me to provide a little bit of additional feedback on what he's talked about?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Before you do that, though, Craig, I'm assuming that you're willing to work then with the city and with Ian to make those any of the modifications that Ian would like to see.
Right. I haven't had a chance. I'm on the road at the moment. That's why I'm calling in. So I'm not at my computer. But I just received today, I'm hoping their verifications with the quotes to verify the guarantee the price for another 30 days. I added in the two linear lights that Ian was talking about that could be utilized for side lighting, back lighting, or foot lighting. So I would have to update the actual package with those a couple of additional lights and things and accessories, cabling and such on it. No one mentioned anything about the lighting console being repositioned. That's not a big issue. We can discuss that. I can resubmit both packages. We can discuss the package 2B that I was talking about that he mentioned with the zoom features. Those are four fixtures that had the ability to zoom in and out to create a wide or narrow field. You could basically set those up where you would have a choice of the operator is going to use it in like wide field mode for a large concert or zoomed in mode for another one. The users would necessarily have to know how to use it or that it would add exceptional complexity to the thing. That was kind of why I picked those, because it was only one feature, just the zoom. You didn't have gobos, you didn't have color wheels, you didn't have all the other bells and whistles that some of these fixtures have. Either package is basically ideal. I would, if you're going to make a choice, I would definitely recommend the package one. It gives you the best mid-priced fixtures that ETC has come out with. They're their introductory line. The side lights, the color source fixtures can be utilized with other of the ETC products. So you can have zooms, or you could use them for psych lighting or a Fresnel lens attachment. So you're not reinvesting in a full fixture if you need to modify and utilize it for something else. Basically everything Ian was mentioned, that would be the one that I would recommend, package one, if you guys are going for it. I'd have to modify it because the linear fixtures that he was referring to, the backlights, side lighting ones, were only available in the C package that I gave you. So I've got that updated from my vendor with the latest, with those additional fixtures in there. So I would have to resubmit the bid with those added in.
Okay, Craig, if the bid for the package A is $23,197, to add the additional things that were discussed tonight, would it exceed $25,000?
I'm afraid I don't have the books with me. Ian, if you have them, I think those fixtures were something around $1,400 each. If you have one on package C.
I think we all have the package C in our packet, but I
there should be can EDC navigate it better color than... source linear fixture. If anybody can find the color source,
I'll pull it up. I've got it here.
Pictures.
Oh, is it a color source relay multiverse receiver?
Nope. No, it'll say linear.
That package C, it should be a color source, ETC color source linear one, linear two, I believe it is.
$1,900 each.
Linear.
I'm sorry, I missed the number.
$1,900.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would add 4,000. And that is something.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, it's like, yeah, in addition to the lights, we would I would suggest getting another one of those EDC relays so that you don't have to run wires down to them. So there's a couple of cables in the relay in addition to the fixtures, but it's a relatively minor cost compared to the fixtures themselves. But the ETC, we could possibly pull one of the other color source juniors out to modify it. If you have a top number budget item or line item price that you want me to stay under, I can try to put the package together using the linears and modify it to keep it within your budget.
No, all I was going to do is request the council to approve your quote not to exceed a certain dollar amount. So we could request the council to approve it.
Okay.
Not to exceed $28,000, and that should more than cover $26,997 would be about what it'd be without tax. So
should be able to cover more than enough.
So that was the reason I was asking. So any additional comments?
My understanding on this is originally $15,000 was given by L.V. Raymond. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we've gone from 15 to 28.
Right. And I think that this is something that is needed to be done. It is definitely causing an issue with performances at the theater. It's causing people to not want to book the theater for performances because the lighting is so obsolete. It's something that needs to be done. We do have the funds to do it. If we're going to do it, now is the time to do it while we do have the funds.
Looks to me I wasn't part of it, but when they gave the $15,000, that was a way, that quote was already like 5 or 6 years old.
Yes.
It wasn't a way old quote. So I don't think it should really went up as much.
And there was multiple quotes in there. They went with basically the band-aid fix of the quotes that we had received at the time. So any additional comments? Okay, I'd like a motion to approve the Raymond Theater lighting proposal from hang on just a second. From Light and Motion Show Control LLC, package A, not to exceed $28,000. Her motion? Okay, do I hear a second?
This is Ian. This is Ian, I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Okay, motion carried. So, Craig, if you can still hear me, you can get in touch with Ian. I'm assuming Ian will...
I'll get that together for you in the next day or two.
Okay, and then Ian, will you be willing to kind of take the lead on this and then let me know if you need my help or whatever?
I guess take the lead on getting the final approval or getting it installed.
No, just talking to him and whatever else he might need to get going, and then we'll make sure that he has all the contact information he needs for the theater, for the manager.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, thank you. And I thank you for all your work on this very, very much.
It was my pleasure. It was a pretty enjoyable project.
Good. All right, moving along. Resolution.
Thank you all from Craig.
Yep. Thanks, Craig. Okay, resolution 1277, Transportation Improvement Plan. This is the 6-year plan. I'd be welcome. There's one error under the fourth, whereas it says July 6, 2021. It says should say July 5th, 2022. And pretty much all the paperwork is there regarding the 6-year plan. I'll be glad myself or Eric, who is probably more qualified, to answer any questions anybody may have.
So I have a question. Oh, go ahead, Karen.
Thanks, Ian. What does FDR mean in the under project description?
Full depth reclamation.
Okay.
So usually when they grind and then redo everything.
Okay.
Lucky I knew that. Full depth. Oh yeah.
FDR.
FDR.
Hey, Ian.
Okay. Yeah. On the allotted funds, those are not enough to do the work. That is, those funds are calculated assuming we would get TIB grants and that would be our matching portion. Is that right?
I believe. Usually when you go to like grant funding or bidding, it's all done then. So these probably are not current pricing.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting at is if we don't get grants, are we still doing these roads?
So, yes. I think council approved, I think, like $100,000 the years we don't have grants. This year we got grants, so the years we don't, then internally, we have this list, and this is, we use more for grant funding because to get grants, they have to be on this list. Things change, what they're going to fund, what they're not going to fund. Internally, we have our list, which we actually use part of TIB's information because they rate our streets, so it helps us pick the ones that we would do ourselves that maybe are eligible but won't rate well, so basically we would never get grants for them. So we have a list of streets that are top priority that we would look at during the council the years we don't get grants. Did I answer your question in a roundabout way?
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
And it's hard to go by with what it says in there for the local because you never know with TIB, because sometimes you can get a TIB grant and depending on the funding they have available, it won't have a match. And then sometimes it might be 5%. Sometimes it may be 2.5%. So really, it's more just the engineers putting this together with their best estimate of what potentially could be the city's match. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Isn't this basically just a wish list?
No, I wouldn't say it's a wish list. It just is. To get grants, and there's different criteria. So TIB, we have them come down usually, and they'll show us Jackson was a really good one. Fowler will be a great one. It's just.
But you have to have it all listed.
You have to. You can't get grants. Absolutely.
It's just.
So, and most of our streets are not the greatest, so we leave them in there. So in case there's some criteria, like this year, we'll start. Well, I'll get into that later.
It's you're jumping through the hoops in order to keep the money coming.
Yeah, this is a requirement by the state. It doesn't even leave our office unless somebody needs to see it for a grant.
And the criteria to really get a road funded is it depends on where that road goes. If it's libraries, schools, hospitals, parks. I mean, those are top winners. We pretty much get those funded.
They want traffic. They want people to use it.
And dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And the tourists and that kind of stuff, they rate really high. So, and I can tell you there's times when a road may come up for funding and it's not on your list. And that's when you're scrambling and doing a revised 6-year road plan on a Friday at 3:45, because that's when they always happen. So it's always best to look ahead, as far ahead as you can, as to what. So do I hear a motion to approve resolution 1277, 6-year road plan?
Yes.
Second? Okay. All those in favor with the amended date? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, moving along. Fire Chief Didion didn't make it tonight. He got a call just before council started. Police Chief Chuck Spohr is out of the office today. Public Works Director Eric Weibert.
I got a couple things. The contractors are on site. They're on site, but they're not on site. They're doing a little bit of stuff. The water tank, so that's starting. I think the 25th more will be happening, but they have been on site. So that's awesome.
And how long is that going to take?
Well, overall, it should take, we won't get it all done this year because we missed doing the inside with the spring. So we need the right time frame for that. But they are going to do the paint on the outside and all the exterior. So then when they cut a hole to get in the tank, they'll just repaint that spot and get it over there. So that's exciting as it started versus pushing out another year and then something coming up and it not happening. So we're excited about that. Been one of our priorities for a long time. And then also we had bid opening for the TIB street grants, and Rogland was low bidder. It hasn't been awarded yet, as they got to go through and confirm everything, you know, verify, but that's exciting also. And it was under engineer's estimate, so that's also exciting,
which is a rarity right now.
Yeah, so anyways, that's all I had. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more happy to try to answer them.
I have a couple for you, Eric. The park in Riverdale, I don't know if it's Lions Park or Robert Hoffer Park, but next, adjacent to the ball field there, it used to have a bridge, and the bridge is gone, and so access to the picnic pad and the basketball hoops is limited. I don't even know how you do access it. Is there a plan to put another bridge back in?
Yeah, that one was really rotten, and then where it's located, we'll move it back, but that creek's so silted in that it was causing a hazard, deflecting the water, and it was getting pretty rotten. It is accessible from next to the ball field. That is I believe it's an alley in there, but next to the fence, so people can get to it, but yes, that is something we're looking at, trying to come up with a solution for that.
Okay, thank you. And then, we've talked about it for a few years, dredging of the 8th Street boat launch. What's going on with that?
That is still in permitting through the Corps of Engineers. So with our grants, we had hired people do the permits and the engineering on it, and the Corps still has to approve it. I believe that we're working with the port also on that, because they were going to do the dredging and they have something with it also. So it's still just waiting on approval.
But how long do we expect to wait?
Well, I don't know that. I could try to see if we can get an answer. A lot of times I've heard 2 years for the Corps to get you permitting. We're probably not quite 2 years with just on their part, but they've had it for a while. I can see if I can get some information on that. We periodically check in to see how things are going, and we're told the same thing. It's still in the Corps, and we have no way to push them. But I would be happy to check and see if I can get some more information.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a wonderful facility there with that's unusable, and has been unusable for many years. So I do hope that we can get it back to being used.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That was all I had.
A couple things. It's right in the parking lot.
Weather's just now getting good, so yeah, that's on, that is on our list for sure. Yep, it is on, it is planned.
True.
Well, probably
most museums have done more currently. The other ones.
We're gonna try to strike this year with our help. We're gonna try to get like all the city facilities strike. It's just crazy here for weather.
And then I happen to notice on Facebook where I get all the news.
All your
and
truth,
all true.
And you're all your truth.
This part is true. So, people are complaining. Again, it's not the first time I've heard it about the bathrooms at the street park and such being closed for access mostly all the time. It was news to me because when I did a little stint helping the city, I would go and lock park bathrooms. What's our
the boat set? Launch should be open. I actually a little bit like I didn't realize the bathrooms at 8th Street. I know they had some problems for a while, so those ones hadn't been open, but the boat launch ones were. We had some vandalism there in the past, but seems to be subsided for now. So as far as I know, that would be the only one that wasn't, but I will check and see if we can come up something there and get that one open.
And we were aware as well.
Yeah, so we got it on Facebook also.
It's not a council issue, frankly, but
it is.
Certainly if it's being talked about. I just don't know. I don't know the state of repair of 8th Street Park bathrooms. I haven't been in it. So I don't know, but
I think usually during the softball, baseball.
That's how we always used to open the one behind the visitor center.
Yeah, the visitor center one is open. They close them at night. All of them should be open. They just close them in the evening and then open them in the morning. So that's even all weekend. Mike comes in and opens them and closes them or somebody.
And the ones over by the museum are open every day.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 days a week they're open.
Yeah, those are mostly the museums.
And they're spotless.
And there's showers there too.
No, they're not. We'll get into that. Yeah. There's a spot for one.
Or by two.
Transient motor,
so I won't get into it, but that was the intent of those, and they're
I think there was a bunch of issues with them, but
But anyway, anything else, Ryan? Okay. Anybody? Not yet. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a question, and this may not be a question for council. I'm just asking. The highway where it washes out and it's got a lot of problems, that would be the state responsibility.
And I have a call in to see what their plan is for our portion of that.
Okay.
I'm still trying to get somebody to call me.
They just put more asphalt.
I know.
My car just about died today. It hit two places that it was so bad today again.
The highway.
Yeah. So
I almost took some air there.
Yeah. And it's better than it was even. So anything else?
That would be good.
Okay.
You don't need to slip it, only pick the signs on it.
That's right, it's fixed if the signs are gone. Okay, Clerk Treasurer Kayla?
I don't have any updates.
Okay, well, fine. So I have very limited information to provide tonight. I will tell you that I went to AWC's annual conference and this year it was in Vancouver. It was 4 days, the 21st through the 24th, I think. I can't stress enough to the council how beneficial these are. You're all, as elected officials, encouraged to attend. They are really 4 full days of training, information, things that are all relevant to your position as a counselor, different classes, different agencies that provide information. They really are probably some of the best training and information and sessions you could ever attend. The city pays your way if you would like to go. I'm fortunate I sit on a couple of different boards for AWC, so AWC pays my way to go for the most part. But I just next year I'll try to give all of you a heads up. It's in Spokane next year. They rotate east side, west side, so it's a little bit further travel. But I think that any and all of you would definitely benefit from the offerings that they provide. So I like what they provide. So that's all I had. Council comments. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Sure.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Council meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
As soon as I retire from one.